Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McArey of the News Tribune. And Kyle, last week was a lot closer than I think probably both of us thought. And, you know, I mean, first of all, somebody who was there, how was the energy in the building for what kept shaping up as potentially maybe the biggest upset of that day in college football?
That was an incredible atmosphere. Yeah. That was I went to Oklahoma State for 5 years, went to a lot of very big football games there with great crowds. That was one of the better atmospheres I've seen at a college football game.
Yeah.
That was just a fantastic showing from the Mizzou fans. Almost a sellout. I think they were a couple thousand short of a sellout.
Okay.
But looked totally full.
Yeah.
They were in it, energized the whole time. Just a great environment.
That was one of those games where obviously, you know, it's the old adage, you know, don't let an underdog hang around for too long, because then they'll just start to believe, they'll start to think they got a puncher's chance to maybe win this one. And it was, I think it felt like that kind of as the game wore on. I mean, I think as someone who wasn't totally comfortable thinking they've got this one in the bag, but I think I kept seeing more texts from friends, I kept seeing more people reaching out going, what's going on in that game? How is this so close? But you also did have that feeling of impending doom, and I don't know if you, I think you and I probably talked about this off air last week, which we probably should have been smart enough to let the tape roll and tape it on the air, but I think we did both mention the fact that, you know, Missouri couldn't settle for field goals when it needed touchdowns, and that's exactly how that game played out. Was literally, yes, it was great, and every time Mevis made another one, you thought, hey, fantastic, good for him, what a great day, what a redemption story for him. But it was also like you're thinking, we can't keep getting three when we need seven.
Right. I don't want to take anything away from Mevis, because that was one of the better college kicking performances I've ever watched.
Right.
He was incredible.
Yeah.
Fantastic day. Missouri cannot go to him five times and expect to win.
Right.
Especially not against Georgia. I was kind of going through the same thing, texting friends from up in the press box and everything, like, oh, hey, Missouri's in front, 3-0. Oh, hey, it's 10-0. Oh, hey, it's 13-0. Missouri has, they have the lead at halftime.
Yeah.
And my friends were like, what is going on? And what is this game? And was, the biggest thing, Missouri's defense played incredible.
Yes.
Fantastic, yep. Fantastic game. Their second one in a row.
Right.
They looked very good against Auburn after those first two drives. Let's say like last seven quarters for Missouri's defense, fantastic.
Right.
Those last couple of drives that Georgia had with the two touchdowns, it looked like they were just kind of worn down. They'd been on the field a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of those drives that Missouri had that ended in field goals weren't very long.
Right.
That's
right.
Kind of the thing that I was thinking when we had talked about that last week, settling for field goals, was if you have a longer drive and you get into the red zone and then you're ending with a field goal, that's a big problem.
Right.
And they did that, I think, once or twice.
Sure.
out of the five field goals.
Yeah.
But two of them were over 50 and one was like 47.
Right.
So Missouri wasn't real close on those to getting touchdowns. It was kind of like, oh, hey, we're across midfield. And now we're getting stopped.
Exactly. I think, though, everything else kind of played out the way that I think that game needed to play out. You know, you look at things, and when you're kind of an overmatched opponent and you're kind of trying to pull off the upset of a number one team, well, you know, what's the first thing you hope for? Well, you hope that maybe Georgia doesn't start clicking early. They didn't.
They didn't.
You know, you're able to, and to credit the defense, again, they kept them from, you know, looking good early on.
A couple of turnovers.
Exactly. Get a couple turnovers. You know, start winning the time of possession. Maybe not by huge margins, but keep the ball for as long as you can until you have to give it up. And then if you have to give it up, hopefully you get a point or two here or there. Well, they kept getting 3 points here or there. Mm-hmm. And so it all kind of kept playing out, except for the fact where you go, you just hope that that game had been a little shorter at the end, because you could almost feel them kind of running out of gas and Georgia going, we've got this, we're gonna do just enough. And they did do just enough. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, you go, darn it, you know, it was all kind of there, and, you know, but for, you know, a couple extra things going the right way, you could have come out with a win.
Well, I'll tell you, my thought process watching it, especially once you get into the start of the second half, you know, Georgia drives, gets a couple of field goals. I think they scored on, like, six or seven consecutive drives. It was just mostly field goals.
Right.
Also. And it was like, okay, they went down, they kicked a field goal, it's now a one possession game. Missouri comes down, kicks a field goal, back to a two possession game.
Right.
The whole time I was up there thinking, as long as Missouri's able to end every drive with a two possession lead,
right,
they're great.
Yeah.
You know, there it is.
Right.
And then Georgia gets the touchdown, no answer. Right. And right. That's when you go, oh crap.
Yeah.
This, even with a 3 or 4 point lead, whatever it was after that touchdown, you go, oh no, this is where this run ends.
Yes. And again, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you look at it and go, you know, it almost was kind of a smoke and mirrors thing for the longest time. And they did just kind of have things go their way. Because, you know, if you look at time of possession, you know, Georgia has it for almost 10 minutes more. You know, they've got 12 more first downs. They end up having, you know, 170 more yards. So you're like, you keep looking at it going, okay, that's starting to kind of edge that direction.
That was, I think, very specifically a dominant second half.
Sure.
The first half stats for Georgia, I really should have kept one of those printed out papers of the first half stats, because it's hard to find just specific splits for that. But, you know, Missouri outgained Georgia in the first half by a bit. I think they had the advantage in time of possession, mm-hmm. and then Georgia came out in the second half.
Yeah.
And especially those touchdown drives were long and took a lot of time off the clock, got a lot of yards. You know, it was just like it kept building and building, and then those end numbers look a lot more like a full dominant game for Georgia.
Yeah. So much like last week when we were talking about, okay, is there going to be hangover from a bad Auburn performance going into a game that, you know, is against a good opponent that you're going to have to play extremely well to beat? It's kind of a same question, but a little different scenario. Is there going to be a hangover from, gosh, we gave it all we had last week and almost pulled off the upset that everybody was kind of looking to maybe we could pull off, to now you got to get refocused for another good opponent this week? So would they've proven that after a bad game, they can get refocused for a really good team? So after a oh-so-close loss, can they get refocused now for a good Florida team?
I think the way, at least from the comments after the game, it seems like the way Missouri players especially are looking at last week's game is nobody thought we could even do that.
Right.
And we just showed everybody
sure.
that we can play with anybody.
Right.
So now let's go out, play like that again,
yeah.
and beat a team that's not as good as Georgia.
Right.
Because we almost beat the number one team in the country, now number two team.
The counterpoint is, you were kind of flying under the radar before that game. And you're not going to fly under the radar for Florida this week. They're gonna know that you're going to be better than maybe what your billing or what your record says there is. Because yeah, you're coming in at 2-3-0 and 2 in the SEC, but you're not that team now. You look like you're maybe a better team than that.
Well, and especially, I think that might be the one time playing a night game kind of hurts you. Because if that game was stuck at 11 a.m. and then a bunch of other things happened the rest of that day, you know, maybe it kind of gets forgotten about it.
Right.
And, you know, Florida maybe goes back to, well, yeah, Missouri hasn't had a lot of success this year. That was the night game.
Yeah.
Everyone was watching.
Exactly.
That was, yeah. like, the night game on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
The whole country was watching that
right.
game. And they were enthralled.
Right.
Right, so everybody knows yep. what they saw.
So you know you're not going to get taken lightly this week. So therefore, you're going to have to play as good or better than what you did last
right.
week. So what did we see other than settling for field goals when they should have touchdown? What's maybe one takeaway from last week that the Tigers need to still build upon to take that next step in order to keep improving as each game goes on?
Well, the offense needs to play better.
I yeah. mean,
that's been evident, you know, in every, you know, non-FCS game
right.
this year, is the offense needs to play better. yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
The defense played fantastic. The special teams looked great,
yeah.
obviously. The offense just needs to sustain and finish drives in a way that they haven't done since, you know, the FCS games.
Did you see anything last week that was maybe an improvement over what they'd done to that point? It did seem like, not necessarily, I mean, Georgia's speed is phenomenal on defense.
Yeah.
So it did seem like they were hurried up a whole lot in that game, where it just seemed like even when good things were happening, you kind of got the feeling that maybe Missouri was running for its life on certain plays where, like, we are just, oh my gosh, we're going to have to speed up. And it almost felt a little frantic sometimes. So is it just a matter of now that they've kind of gotten used to seeing the speed of a Georgia that maybe the rest of the things slow down? Or is it just a matter they know how they have to play at that next accelerated speed to kind of have some success? And maybe now it's just a matter of kind of making it all mesh together.
I think part of it is maybe you look at it and say, like, yeah, we play better when we play at that speed.
Okay.
So let's play at that speed.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep the hurry up. Let's get the ball out of Brady Cook's hands quickly. Let's get it to the playmakers and have them work instead of, you know, trying to take it a little slower, let plays develop further down the field. Maybe just get it to the guys and let them run.
Because I will say I was impressed with the types of things they ran. Some of the different schemes.
A ton of pre-snap motion.
Yeah.
So much pre-snap
motion. And just gave a lot of different looks than maybe what we'd seen earlier. Mm-hmm. Now, again, Georgia speed was able to counteract a lot of stuff where you go, oh, that play would have worked against somebody else because that was a great scheme there. So I do think that it did seem like they opened up the playbook or got at least a little more exotic with some of the stuff they were trying to run. So I'll give them credit. It looked like, while it didn't necessarily translate into great big gains all the time, again, credit Georgia's defense, it just seemed like they looked like a kind of a different offense to me from maybe the first couple games we'd seen.
Yeah, there was some. I really focused a lot on the pre-snap motion, like I just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, it was just so clear. Every play, or almost every play, somebody was moving.
Right.
To test Georgia's defense, to get guys moving around, you know, to mix up assignments and everything, and it worked.
Right.
You know, that was one of the better things I think Missouri's done this year, and I, you know, they might have been doing it the past few games, and I just didn't really notice.
Right.
But,
well, that was my next question. Do you think maybe that was just something they held in reserve until they needed to use it for somebody, you know, or felt like we got to throw everything and the kitchen sink in for this one?
There's certainly the idea that, you know, those first four games, you're coming in, nobody out of those first four, looking at it before the season, probably scared you a whole lot. Especially the way Georgia would.
Sure.
So, you know, maybe, yeah, you keep a little bit of the playbook hidden, and then you bring it out for Georgia.
Right.
Thinking, like, yeah, if we can surprise them a bit, then we have a better chance. And they did. But now it's out there, just do it.
Right.
Just keep doing that.
Yeah.
Because that worked so much better.
Sure. Sure. So I guess that's, you know, it bears mentioning, I don't think I mentioned it to this point, 11 a.m. game today at Florida, ESPNU. What's maybe the biggest thing other than, yes, improving maybe the production of the offense? What do they need to do against Florida to get a victory? I mean, it's a Florida team that's 3-2, but it's also 0-2 in the SEC. So I think their two that they've played in the SEC are a little bit better. Well, I mean, Missouri does have the best of the SEC.
If you average it out, they're probably pretty close.
Yes.
Just because of Georgia.
sure. But again, you know, with their losses coming, you know, to, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky, those are two pretty good losses in conference.
Absolutely.
So. What do they mean? I mean, what about Florida concerns you as a Missouri Tiger going into this one?
You have to stop Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
He's a fantastic quarterback. Specifically, his ability to run the ball. I think he got his first passing touchdown like last week or 2 weeks ago. That's a little deceptive.
Right.
I think, you know, when they get in close, they want to run it, but Richardson can run it really well.
Right.
I think he's probably the second best quarterback in the SEC, maybe third. You know, we've got a lot of good quarterbacks in the SEC. But if you're able to kind of corral him, then you stand a much better chance. If he's able to get out and move, you're going to be in trouble.
So if it gets to be the sort of thing where, you know, Florida gets its points, which, again, with a player like that, you think they're going to get some. What do you think of Missouri's ability to score enough to win this one against the Florida defense?
Like I said, the offense looked better because of all that extra stuff they were doing. I think if you put what they did last week, the performance they had last week against a not Georgia defense,
right,
it looks even better.
Sure.
Of course.
Right.
So, not to take anything away from Florida's defense, it's still, you know, a top SEC defense. But it's, if you can get some of that, you know, the pre-snap motion, the extra looks and everything, if you can get that all working as well or better than it did last week, I think that offense is going to move significantly better than you've seen through the first 5 weeks.
Any health concerns for the Tigers coming to this one, or how are we looking at this point in the season?
A couple. Yeah. Dominic Lovett went out after the first half against Georgia. I think he's day-to-day.
Okay.
As far as
I know, that was the one that everybody was kind of concerned about in-game, especially.
Made a huge difference in the second half.
Yeah.
I think if you have him in the second half, it looks a bit different.
Right.
There's a couple of defensive injuries that are also day-to-day. You know, nothing that's definitive about a player being out, but a couple that you're worried about, and especially with Lovett, if you're missing him the whole game, that offense is going to look a lot different.
Sure. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. How do you think this one plays out today?
I think it'll be a lot closer than I was maybe expecting before last week.
Sure, sure. You're not the only one.
But Florida at home, that environment is so crazy. I'm still going to give the edge to the Gators and say Florida 28-24.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabi, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabi on Twitter at Kyle_McArabi. That's McArevy. Thanks for listening.